Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And this will be followed by the New Testament reading, which is taken from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, by your grace and your love and through the presence of your Spirit with us, may the words of my mouth and the understanding of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Good to see you all. If you had Romans 13 open on page 169, keep your finger in it, we're coming back to it later. But I want to start by asking you a question. What kind of a person are you? Are you the kind of person that when you see a sign that says, do not walk on the grass, you do not walk on the grass? Or are you the kind of person that thinks, I'm going to walk on the grass to see what happens? Are you the kind of person on a motorway in the 50-mile-an-hour zone when the average speed cameras... By the way, does anyone know anyone who's ever been caught by an average speed camera? Anyway, thank you. In the average speed camera, if you're fortunate enough to have a car that has cruise control on it, do you set the cruise control at 50 or at 53 just to push it? What kind of person are you? We're coming to the end of the series on the Ten Commandments, and today is the 10th and the last, therefore. You shall not covet. And many people, as we've said all the way through this series, would look at the Ten Commandments and think that they are rules to be kept. But as we've seen, that's not what they're about. And this one, this final one, this 10th one, you shall not covet, affirms that these are not purely rules about our behavior. The previous five commandments are all things that other people can see. If you murder someone, then others will know. If you commit adultery, at least two people will know, and more will inevitably find out. If you steal, then the one stolen from will know. If you bear false witness, if you lie, then you can, and that often does affect other people, especially if you're lying about them. If you don't honor your father and your mother and father at least will probably know that you're not doing that. But no one really knows about coveting, do they? No one really knows about that secret internal thing, that jealous and desirousness of something that someone else has got. It's more of a heart thing. Let me issue a slight confession warning here. Coveting is something I struggle with, especially living where I live in Stoke Bishop. You see, I have a love of cars. Ever since my grandparents, and I blame them for this, my grandparents bought me the top trumps in the 1970s. Yeah? Thank you, Hugh. Hugh's with me on this. I've always loved cars. I've loved machinery. I've loved the beauty of it. I love the sound of the Aston Martin that drives down Mariner's Drive most days, and then in the evening, drives back up again. I love the sound of the Ferrari one of my neighbours sometimes has on his driveway when I can't work out if it's him or his friend. But anyway, when you hear that going along the road, they're just beautiful machines. I have to be careful in case I covet those cars. What is it for you that you cover? Maybe houses or kitchens or holidays, perhaps even your neighbour's donkey. But the only people who will know about the coveting are you and God. You and God are the only ones. So why is this a problem? Why is coveting an issue? Let me start with the kind of common sense answer to that question. Coveting can lead to other wrongdoing, to kind of behavioral wrongdoing. It's a turning of the heart towards an activity that is not godly, towards sin. The commandments are written to a community who lived pretty closely together for most of their lives. There wasn't a lot of mobility going on. People didn't move away to go and work somewhere else very often. They lived together all the time. They knew each other. So coveting, wanting or lusting after someone else's possessions or wife or ox or house or slave, could easily begin to affect relationships. Jealousy could lead to other sins, to gossip, envy, even murder or adultery. And that coveting, that heart position, damages relationships, damages community. It does not reflect God's will for people. Before coming here, I had experience of a family where the death of around the death of their elderly mother, and there were two sons, and one of the sons had, unbeknown to his brother, had gone around, and because the furniture in the house he'd coveted, he had put labels on the bottom with his names on them of all the bits of furniture he wanted afterwards. The other son was not so keen on this because he also had coveted some of those bits of furniture, and it caused a bit of family disagreement. It caused issue in their relationship. It was destructive. But there is a deeper issue in coveting. A breakdown in relationship is merely a symptom, or is a symptom. What is the cause? At the heart of coveting is a lack of contentment with what I have. It could be a lack of thankfulness for all God has given, or a sense that I deserve better, or a belief that our identity and value is tied up in the things that we own rather than who we are in God. In the end, the heart of coveting is a damaged heart. Let me just unpack what I mean by heart. In Jewish understanding, the heart is not the physical thing that beats inside your chest. It's more the center of the person. The Bible was written from a Jewish perspective. It doesn't separate the physical from the psychological or the emotional. It doesn't separate characteristics and thinking. A biblical understanding of a person has a holistic approach to who we are. The heart is the seat of the person, the center of the person. It's what makes me who I am. It's what makes you who you are. In effect, our hearts control or direct everything about us. Our minds, our emotions, our reactions to what goes on. So, for example, when God chooses David as the second king of Israel, he chooses him because David's heart is turned towards God. His heart is turned towards God. David's psalms often speak of our hearts. My heart is steadfast, O God, he writes in Psalm 57. Search me and know my heart, Psalm 139. In the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5 to 7, in Luke, Jesus teaches that it will be the pure in heart who will see God. And in Ephesians 3, 17, we're told that we can comprehend God's great love for us through Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. Throughout the Bible, God shows us that the root cause of our problems lie not with our behavior, but rather with our damaged hearts. Our hearts direct our actions. Which is why throughout this series we've tried to emphasize that the Ten Commandments are not rules to follow in order to be saved. The commandments were given when the people were already saved from Egypt. It's why in Jesus' teaching, especially in Matthew 5 and 7, 5 to 7, and in Luke, he affirms the Ten Commandments and reminds the people that this is about their hearts, about their attitudes, not just their outward actions. It is why Jesus' death and resurrection save us by gifting to us forgiveness of sins, cleansing our hearts. We don't work for that. It is given, it is done, it is sorted by Jesus' sacrifice. God does that for our hearts. When we turn to Jesus, we choose to receive that forgiveness as a gift to us. We invite Jesus into our hearts to be Lord of our lives, to walk with us, to transform them. The Lord treats the root cause in our hearts. As we're transformed, our behavior changes. We are first saved by God, and then the work of God begins in us, transforming our hearts. We allow ourselves to be changed from within by Christ's presence in us. We will it, we invite it, we allow it. God does it through the work of the Spirit in us. And that is what Paul is on about in the reading we heard from Romans, which if you've still got your finger in, you might want to turn back open again. I think it's page 169. In the first part of this reading, Paul is reminding them that the commandments 5 to 10 are summed up in the words, love your neighbor as yourself, repeating Jesus' teaching about loving neighbor, loving enemy, loving one another. And we know that love of God, love of self, love of others, begins in the heart. It comes from the heart, from the center of a person. Paul reminds the Roman church that Jesus' return is getting closer. It's nearer than when we first believed. It's nearer than when we first came here this morning. He therefore calls the church, verse 12, he says, let us lay aside the works of darkness. And how do we do that? Verse 14, the very last verse that we heard, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Don't feed the flesh. Don't gratify its desires. Flesh is Paul's shorthand for the part of us that is not in God's will, the part of us that resists Jesus, our untransformed hearts, if you like. Don't feed the flesh. He says, don't feed the ungodly bit of you. Don't provide for it. For example, don't covet. When we covet, when we desire something that's not ours, that desire can become increasingly consuming. It can lead us away from God. That desire can become our priority, the thing we seek after. We might work harder in order to have that amazing holiday and not give to those in need because that isn't our priority. We might give time and effort to pursuing that thing that we desire, which takes time and energy away from our spiritual lives, away from our life in Christ. We might make our jobs or our families or our ministry or our a major priority, putting them before God because we covet something that is not of God. And many of us, as Mark beautifully illustrated at the beginning of the service, have little windows to observe the things that we desire in our top pockets. Phones and tablets where we can indulge our worship of the other and covet them. Don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have nice things. The question is more, where are our hearts directed? What occupies our minds and prayer life? When we aren't thinking about anything, what are we thinking about? And only you and God can answer that question. Only I and God can answer that question. And Paul says, rather than feeding our flesh, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means inviting Jesus daily to be the Lord of our lives, our whole lives, and inviting the Lord to change our hearts. It means making and giving time with for being with the Lord in prayer. And it means making time to read Scripture to find out where God's will is. It means choosing to be content with what God has given us, living in the moment and trusting God. And believe me, I speak to myself more than anybody else in here when saying that. Trust God. It means receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior and knowing that forgiveness and new life, which means that we will only have God as our Lord, not put anything before the Lord, no idols. Trust solely in the name of the Lord. Take our Sabbath rest, trusting the Lord and enjoying those moments with Him. Honor our father and mother, not commit adultery, not murder, not lie, not steal, not covet. It means first allowing Jesus to change our hearts as His gift, so that we can live as godly people in God's image. Do not covet gets to the heart of the matter because it is a matter of the heart. And the only one powerful enough to change our hearts is the Lord God. And praise God that God does that for us, offering His Son that we could know Him and giving us His Spirit to transform us. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ.